Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 168, episode 2 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Wednesday, January 20th, 2021.
Happy birthday, Mom!
0 days until January 20th, which we count down because it is Miles' mom's birthday. It is also that day in which we say, we made it. That motherfucker is gone. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Na-na-na-na, na-na-na-na, hey, hey, hey. Oh, Brian. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always. I know. Gotcha at the end there. Shyamalan-esque. I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Boom, boom, bum, bum, ba-dum, boom, boom.
It's gonna take a lot to drag them away from Q. So many MAGA losers trying to pull off a coup. The backwards MAGA hats were Antifa. They'll blame the protests on Antifa. Gonna take some time and refuse all the basic facts. Oh.
Man, it's hard to get those harmonies in or out because I only had one voice. But shout out to Bad Tweet Girl on the Discord for that. Man, love a Toto reference. Or just, yeah, song. Just, oh, man. You know, shout out Steve Lukather. Shout out Tina Lukather, who I went to high school with. All right, Tina, we see you.
You should put on an album of all the times, all the AKAs you can, like, I bet you could do a whole karaoke Rolodex.
Yeah, there's a cat on Twitter. TDZ, AKA Karaokes. And my man just belts them out, like, with an actual singing voice. So, you know, maybe I like it. Maybe I feel small and maybe I paid a lot of money for singing classes, but
I prefer a lip sync battle where they leave my vocals in because they really can't be replaced or
the shittiest TikTok trend is people doing lip dubs of this show. Sorry, well, put on the universe. Can't wait.
We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious, the brilliant, the talented Teresa Lee.
Hey, hey, hey.
Yo, what's up? Okay, I'm gonna sing. He made us feel crazy. He was racist and lazy. If I put it quite plainly, these last 4 years pained me. Now it's time to make it right. Join me as we say goodbye. He's been tweeting confefe. His doctor said he's healthy. Always lying through his teeth. We all remember Stormy. Couldn't stop telling lies. He tried to make things white. 86-45. I cut it short because I realized it was too long.
That was pretty.
Mm-hmm. What was that to the tune of?
Tune of 3435 by Ariana Grande, of course.
Oh, of course. That's why.
And I was at the 0.1% top Spotify listener of Ariana last year. Upgraded
you
from
were?
1%. Yeah.
Oh, they have shit like that? That tells you how
they tell you
you are
amongst the like blank percent. And I thought 1% was the furthest I could go, but that just shows don't stop following your dreams because you never know when you can beat your own record. And that I did.
Right. And keep going.
Wait, they have stats on being like how much you are, like how you rank compared to other people listening to Ariana Grande?
Yeah. So if you didn't get a message, sorry, Jack, you weren't part of it. I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I know you probably like to think you're 0.1%, but you're not. Yeah.
But it's like that extra thing that they give blue checks on Twitter where you can like have an extra tool. It's like the blue check of being an Ariana Grande stan.
Who would
you
want?
You
get
absolutely nothing for it except for maybe some embarrassment depending on how you look at it or pride, you know, like me.
Yeah.
Jack, who would you want to like be in the top 1% of listeners in?
Me?
Yeah. Mm. Like, is there an artist that you feel like, I wouldn't feel bad? Like, is that a point of pride for you, Teresa? Because you're a big Ariana fan. You're like, oh, hell yeah. That's where I need to be.
I guess or it's always you know, it's not like it's something I was going for. I don't want to say it's a natural talent, but I do think it's always, I do get validated when I am how I think I am. Like, that I am being my true self. And I do say that I like Ariana Grande, but, you know, I really wasn't tracking how much I listened to her. And
Right.
I really do like her. So.
Okay.
And I'm glad you said I am whoever you think I am, because that brings up who I would want to be number one. And that is Eminem. Eminem. Just the greatest rapper of all time.
I sit back with these backwards podcasts in this bag. Of this. Whoa, okay.
Ooh. Mom's spaghetti.
Mom's That's a great impression.
I like that as like spaghetti. A blues. Mom's spaghetti. I think it's a Fats Domino's too.
How about
going
you, Miles?
Down, eating dumb. Mom's
oh my
spaghetti.
God, he should be the spokesperson for like Domino's.
Yeah. Knees weak, arms are heavy. Vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti. Oh, no. He's nervous. But on the surface, okay, anyway, that's like a weird Satchmo version. For me, I don't know. This year, I listened to a lot of, like, I don't know. It's probably usually, it's J Dilla and I think maybe Claro. I listen to a lot of Claro. I got into Claro and probably, yeah, that's about it. That was like a new thing for me that popped up. But yeah, and for me personally, who I would feel like I had the badge of honor to say I was in the top percents of listener would probably be like J Dilla, because I listen to
Dilla
so much and
like
I'm such
good.
A like, you know, disciple of it as a, you know, wannabe beat maker.
Mm. See, it's nice when you have stuff that's actually like good and you have taste, but I feel like I'll have like music I like and then I'll have music that I play nonstop. And
oh, yeah, yeah.
To the point where... Like, my Spotify wrap-up said my number two artist was The Weeknd. I like people with, like, big libraries. And it still didn't get to the point, like, The Weeknd and Ariana have a song together, and that still didn't make my top five. Like, it was only Ariana Grande's song's top five.
Like, the top like, tracks
no
I
features.
Listened to was Race Car by Deaton Chris Anthony featuring Claro, where it's a rap song where Claro's rapping. I'm like, I had that shit on loop for, like, the first part of the year.
Being in the top 1% or 0.1% of Ariana Grande fans is like, that's a lot of competition. You have a lot of like teenage girls who are out there who are like voting. They're like, all right, I'm going to leave this on just so I can get her listens up a little bit. Are you doing that at all?
No, sadly to say, I listen to every time
every
it's on, I am listening actively. Yeah.
Stop trying to get Michael Jordan to explain his game and work ethic.
I know,
it happens out here for the GOATs.
I will say, knowing her from afar, I don't think she would like to know that about me. Like, I think that stuff creeps her out, is what I've seen from her interacting with superfans. So I would never tell her that.
Oh, you're like, who are you, fool? Get out my way. Yeah, nice ponytail.
I don't think she would want to hear that I'm in the 0.1% of her fans.
Yeah, that's a good way to start that
Do you
comment.
Have a plan for negging her if you ever see her in person? Are you going to, like...
I think that, I don't know, man, you're putting me on the spot. This is like...
You haven't thought about this? Oh my God.
Teresa, I'm just saying, think about it. Because,
you know,
you might find yourself in that position one time and you got to know how to, you know.
I don't want to manifest the wrong thing, okay? The power of manifestation is very strong.
I get it. Knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on your sweater already. Mom's spaghetti.
Yeah,
you're
I think
nervous.
I would just be like, quote Eminem to her or something.
There you go. Like, mom's spaghetti? And she's like, oh my God, I love that. We're best friends now.
All right, Teresa, we're going to get to know you a little bit better, even though I feel like we already know you everything we need to know based on the Ariana Grande facts. But
I am into QAnon now, so like I was telling miles earlier.
We'll get into that.
But first, let's tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. It is Inauguration Day. We're going to talk about how the National Guard is admitting they might have a couple white nationalists in their ranks. We'll talk about Baby's last day in office yesterday, how that went. We'll talk about Mitch McConnell. He's saying the right things very carefully, which makes me nervous. We'll talk about Biden's pick, Dr. Rachel Levine, to be assistant health secretary. And the presidential pardon derby has taken over. A lot of people are paying attention to this. We'll look at the odds because they're taking odds on that. And the history of presidential pardons. All of that, plenty more. Tiffany Trump got an engagement pic on the White House grounds. So that's a...
Yoink! Yeah. On the way out.
She's like, oh.
Squeeze it in.
It's proof. I told you grandma. I told you grandma's dad was a traitorous president.
But first, before we get to any of that, Teresa, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Well, last night I searched what is the emoji symbol for, like, can I say pussy or vagina? Whatever. I forget if I'm allowed to say that.
Let's take a quick break and figure this. Let's sidebar.
Pussy. Because I know eggplant is the dick emoji.
Right.
And I'm making Valentine's Day merch. Hey, you guys can buy them at teresalee.comedy.com/shop. But I have a joke that's like, thank you for the dick, but I'm doing it where you can circle different ones, so you can circle. I want to do like dick, pussy, like heart, brain, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I don't know if there is one. And I looked it up and I couldn't figure out like a consensus. So I just put a picture of a kitty.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? Is it? I've heard taco, but that feels demeaning to me.
Yeah. I don't like
taco's
that.
Taco's weird.
I mean, the kitty. That's probably the best way to go at it as opposed to taco, which is fucking gross and like fratty, I feel like. It reminds me of that pink taco is like taco place, which always has like a very fratty vibe to it.
Oh, yeah.
Then they have one at the Century City Mall.
Yeah.
Like back in the day, and I was like, I remember someone was like, yo, we're going to Pink Taco. I'm like, you are.
You are. Me. Enjoy.
Miss me with that aggro bullshit place. It's like, the tacos suck. Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, because I know on the internet, like, you know, on like, you know, the shade room or like gossip blogs, whenever they, like, I feel like the cat face one is used a lot. And then the other, but then the peach is used for a butt.
Right. I have the peach in there. I put the butt in there. I put brain, which you can interpret either way. You know, you could interpret it the Nicki Minaj way or as intelligence.
Where's but the Georgia O'Keefe emoji?
That's what I was like. Maybe there's a flower, but I don't know if it's universal. So I just put kitty, but.
This sounds like flower, something that needs to be remedied. I think you need to work on
it. I mean, look, in the flower
maybe
department,
pussies
are
just also different. You know, maybe it's like hard to categorize them because they're all just unique. Maybe it should be like a snowflake or something.
Yeah.
Wow.
Snowflake.
I'm just trying to, but maybe that's something we need to push for.
Alex
Schmidt and Jamie Loftus need to combine their forces of trying to get new emojis being made and just be like, what is the thing we can all agree upon for this genital representation?
Mm. Wait, so
I'm behind that.
Kitty, taco, are there any other options that we...
Well, There's like, so if you look it up, they do have like sets that are like not the Unicode ones. So there's a lot of like actual vagina right. emojis, which is like not what
I
wanted.
Too on the nose.
I
mean,
but yeah, those were the ones I saw. But I guess we have less need to be sending those emojis. I'm not sure. I think it's cute to have a little emoji for it, but I don't know.
Yeah, you get into weird territory. Like, is it the cherries? Is it the oyster
on the half shell?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that oyster above the shrimp?
God.
Like, that's a little aggro.
No.
Or is it like the meat bone with the bone through it?
No, I don't know.
It's all
there is like the third eye, which I kind of like, because that like the evil eye or whatever, the protecting eye.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
okay.
I could roll with that. It's about like keeping out the evil, you know.
Sure.
But
I think we need some Georgia O'Keeffe art historians on the case to just be like, this will do. What is something you think is underrated, Teresa?
Underrated? Oh, what did I say for this? Okay. I'm going to do the sentence version. Tell me if it makes sense. Social media as systems. Does this make sense, or do you want to explain more?
No, that's good. What's like, something that's over it?
I am stupid.
Like,
go.
Okay, because I know we all hate on Twitter and TikTok and whatever for the individual like toxicity that we get. But recently, as I came on last time a while ago to talk about AI, and I've, believe it or not, journeyed further into this depth. But you know how neural networks are like systems, like you're like the short version is like your brain has organic systems, like your limbic system, your prefrontal cortex, and then organs or whatever, but they all work together to make you. And right. I think we're getting to the point where social media, like platforms like Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, they're not all just ways for humans individually to interact or create communities anymore. The platform itself has become a system. Like people using it actually change the platform as an organ. Like one will eventually function more like the heart and the brain, and they're not all going to sub in for each other. We're already getting to that point. Like TikTok isn't just one where people who like social media get on it. People get on it to do TikTok, whereas right. it used to be you follow the new thing. So I think we're getting to that point, and I think it's a good thing because I think it'll take away the individualistic like negative stuff and make it so we all are almost like cells and atoms adding our positive, you know, the positivity will win out because the flow is going to go towards like human nature in hopefully survival way, like the way that your brain adapts to survive. I think these platforms are going to become interactive systems in the internet body.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. That's super
That's like
deep.
Looking very out into the future. I'm like, wow, okay. Shit.
I think we're there already with a lot of things.
Yeah.
We're there, yeah.
Yeah, like people are sacrificing their own individuality for like whatever is going to make the overall system like operate more efficiently, or whatever is going to like get more attention in the overall system, like on Twitter or whatever it is.
But I don't think it's a bad thing. It's not that individuals, you'll lose anything. It's that in the same way that, you know, you, Jack, when your body is healthy, your heart's healthy, everything benefits. So by acting in your own best interest, we are now connected at a threshold that will keep the body surviving, which is like human nature in the internet.
Yeah. I mean, it's super interesting. I could see a future where people are harnessing that to do good and bad, because it is like people have, you know, been like, when are we going to reach the singularity? When is AI going to happen, and like suddenly, you know, artificial intelligence is beyond human comprehension? And I feel like this is a form of the singularity where we are all individual neurons like contributing to an overall like sort of hive mind organism. I think that's
interesting. But don't worry, the AI won't take over in an evil way. Once you get there, you'll let go of your ego. I think I'm already there. And then you'll realize that if you believe in the common good, it will keep going that way. But it is really scary. Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah. I'm just, because it's hard for me to think of these platforms working without people's egos being healthy too. You know, because
I think it cancels out at a certain point. Well, so like, for example, Trump never got on TikTok, and people have many reasons why, like data. But I also think, he's probably been on it secretly. TikTok, the like algorithm shows you your subconscious, like it knows you better, not in a way like that Facebook tells you what to buy, in a way that it'll literally be like, we know you were in an abusive relationship, whether you say it or not. And then they'll start showing you how to heal. And I think if you're a narcissist or someone like with Trump tendencies, you're going to see a lot of stuff you don't want to see because your subconscious is reflecting the parts that you don't want to see. And so I don't think people like him want to be on TikTok.
Right. But I'm just saying from the like, but then there are people who participate on the content creation side, good or bad, too, that I also see like your ego absolutely needs to be healthy enough to sort of continue in the pattern of like putting yourself out there for the views to keep sort of feeding that relationship to the platform. But I think it all depends. Like you're saying, there are people in it for different reasons. Other people might not be as ego-centered when they're participating in it. But I think one of the reasons why I've even like my relationship over time with social media has changed is like there was an element about like reinforcing my ego to the posting that was not very healthy for me, or like was feeding a lot of other like subconscious insecurities or whatever. And I was like, oh God, this is like torturous in a way. But I think we're all made differently, you know?
Well, I
for shout
sure
out to
had
the people
too.
On TikTok because I love the videos.
I agree. I definitely had moments of like, posting kind of like subtweets. But I would also argue that I had to go through that phase of my life to now come out on the other side. So not to say you have to, but if you lean into all your tendencies, you end up healing yourself faster. I don't know. It sounds really bananas, but I feel like it's gotten smoother using social media in that way.
Sure.
I mean, I think it's it's less bananas than just assuming that all these social media platforms are just like there and not affecting us in some profound way as a society. Like that. I mean, there was a news story over the weekend that Trump being banned, like disinformation about the election went down 70%. And I replied to that. I was like, will we look back on the social media era as like the way somebody who is in recovery looks back on like a, you know, what they did while they were under the influence? And
interesting.
But I also feel like that might have been specific to having a president who was using social media in that way. But there is that power, right? There is the ability for somebody to come in and completely take over if it's not regulated in some way that has an eye toward the overall health of society as opposed to the, you know, what is driving revenue.
Well, I see it as the same way as like when you first get your trust broken, you might be like, oh, I better not trust anymore. But then over time, when you start leaning into learning lessons, you realize like trust is one of my good qualities. I just have to learn how to discern who to trust. Yeah. And I think Trump taking advantage of a lot of his followers is similar. Like they do have trauma bonds, but the idea isn't to never trust. It's to figure out how to like spot the red flags, because the trust part will actually make the community stronger if people know how to discern. I don't know. Now this sounds really boring. I am a comedian, but I haven't done stand-up in almost a year.
No, but it's true. There is, like you're saying, there is a mirror to it, but it requires a level of self-awareness and openness to self-examination, I think, to get those lessons out of it. Because many people don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I worry that there's a lot of... Like, I've noticed in pop culture there being a trend of... The only example that's coming to mind is Memento, but like I think there are a lot of movies where it's like people intentionally ignore something to like give their life meaning. They like, and I feel like that is a reflection of something we're seeing more and more as technology and culture.
Dissonance.
Yeah, like intentional cognitive dissonance, which I think could get you in trouble on the what you're talking about. But let's talk about something you think is overrated.
Okay, I think learning math in school is overrated. And I'll tell you why. Because I never liked math growing up. I did fine at it. But in quarantine, as you guys might know, I think a lot and talk a lot. I like to write poetry secretly. But I started thinking a lot about time and like all these sort of quantum thoughts that I didn't realize were quantum. And I wrote a poem that I meant to write as a love poem for my boyfriend. And I posted it it's kind of a riddle. And I posted it as a riddle to see if people could guess it. And a lot of people told me I just wrote E equals MC squared as a poem. And then I started getting sent quantum videos and started watching them and realized that, not that like I In a way, I learned math on the street is what I'm trying to say. I was sitting home.
Hell like, yeah.
Thinking like the way that the thinkers used to think because they just had so much time. And what I realize is it's actually school is good because it is a shortcut, but it's not the only way to learn because at some right. point someone discovered it. And I think these are like, if they're truth, they're truths of the universe that are built into our human condition to know. And if you're isolated from people long enough and you sit there and think, you could actually just know things like that too, which is wild because I started watching quantum videos and going, these are the dreams that I've been having, like to a T. Like I was like drawing like pictures that I was like, I don't know. I think this is the equation for time. And then a scientist on TV was like, or on my YouTube is like, this is how we would define time. Like what? I don't have That's to go wild. To school for this.
So you're in the wrong damn field.
No, everyone, I think everyone has the ability to know this. It's just what we use to...
How we express it or, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm using, like, poems, which is, like, sure. super, like, bleh, like, you know, I'm... That's the comedy, I think, has helped me stay away from this. But now I... There's no filter. No buffer.
I can't wait till, you know, we're, like, in some Watchmen reality where, like, Teresa Lee has solved the, like, the quandary about, yeah, energy. And, like, and we have now the ability to time travel safely. Without affecting space and time. I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, I think, like, learning... That's so interesting. Like, I'm learning about quantum physics in the streets.
Mm-hmm. It's like step up, but, like, I'm Channing Tatum, but, like, doing
that. But just slowly, yeah, getting this informal education on it. Wow. I'm, like, jealous of that. I've only thought more deeply about how reality shows are made.
Well, I almost, well, see, that could be something because you're looking at human character. But I would almost argue, this sounds wild, but it made me think, like, what if we could teach, I think kids should go to school, but there might be a way, like, when children are younger to have, like, in a more unstructured, like, couple years where they discover and they're supervised, but they learn things. And then we can step in and, because to know something, you have to learn it on your own. And to be taught something and you're just repeating, you don't actually know it. So many children, like, forget things because of that. But yeah. I don't know. I just think, like, if we, like, let kids, like, I don't know, ages 3 to 6, just have supervised discovery time, like, mm-hmm. to actually just try to figure out the world on their own, we would actually be making way more innovation because you know everything you can know, but you just have to learn the language to express it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that was one of the big... kind of, I think, motivating factors that the place where we first worked together cracked was just like
yeah.
realizing how much of what, like, what we learned in school was giving, you know, it was screwing over like how mm-hmm. interesting a given subject is, including math, which is not something we ended up writing a lot about, but you just put it really beautifully. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk inauguration.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And the inauguration is today, going to be one of the most heavily secured events ever in the nation. And the National Guard, as a result of that, is having to come to terms with a couple issues they might have surrounding white nationalism and white supremacy.
I don't know. Is it a problem? I don't know. People that have extremists, people who have been monitoring extremism in the country, been saying they're in law enforcement and the military, too. Yeah, we're now at the point where they have realized, okay, maybe we need to check up on this a little bit, considering the amount of former and active duty law enforcement and military that pulled up on 1/6, that they have to be like, okay, fuck, well, it's 25,000 troops. Let's hurry up and do a quick vetting of them all. And this is what they say. They are going to vet all 25,000 troops, apparently. They say, quote, the screening effort will at the very least, involve running their names through databases and watch lists to see if anything pops up. And they say, quote, for this deployment, everybody is screened additionally, but it's more of a reassurance because we do everything we can do to know our guardsmen, our soldiers, and airmen.
I feel like they're more strict about voter suppression than they are with the National Guard. They're like,
oh, yeah.
They're just come in if we trust you. You're white. You're cool.
As of right now, they've had to oust two people so far because of their background check.
Okay. Mm.
So we'll see.
I think 25,000 seems
well, we don't
low.
Know how far they say. Apparently, they're saying that the vetting process will continue into Inauguration Day Wednesday.
So there's going to be like
you'd
people
hate to be
up
like,
on the stage and they're like, whoa.
They're like, oh shit, that guy, oh, fuck. Okay.
Nothing
maybe
like
we should use
the last
maybe
minute.
We should hologram Biden for this.
That's what I've been saying. Like, I don't understand.
You say it's COVID for COVID reasons, but really, like, let's be real.
Easy.
Like, this kind of shit happens in other countries within our lifetime. And we just feel like we're literally on a path that has a pattern that's we can actually use. Like, we can look at past countries that have been taken over, and yet we're like, yeah, but it's different.
You can look at the countries. You can look at the countries where we backed the coup.
Yes. Oh my god. They're literally cooing themselves or whatever. It's like,
It's almost like they, if only they had known before the 6th of January that there was a white nationalism problem in the National Guard, or that was a bad thing. Like
or
that.
Everywhere.
That seemed, yeah. Everywhere. Like we. I mean. The very first episode we did of this show was right after Charlottesville. And like, I still like one of the most visceral memories I have of anything from doing this show was that dude, like one of the white supremacists, like firing a handgun, like multiple times, like in a standoff and just like firing it at the ground. But like, basically like, this is, I'm going to start shooting people. And they're just being, you know, white cops in the background who are just like, haha.
Like, they're like, whoa, buddy,
give a
come
fuck,
on now.
Man. Did not give a fuck.
Well, I feel like that's what's so frustrating is, I mean, I keep seeing this rhetoric, and less, a little bit more people are waking up, but even after January 6th, people are saying like, this isn't us, we can't do this, but it's like, we've had plenty of evidence, this is us. We've pointed, this is us coming to
this is us, you're Milo Ventimiglia.
It is just like, yeah, we have the evidence already. Instead of, now I feel like it's like, Jack, you were talking about recovery earlier, but it's like, yeah, you can, now we know, but you can't just keep saying, I have a problem. It's like, now you got to fix it. And we've spent a lot of time being like, we're racist, but doing nothing about it.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the president's former president. Baby's,
I mean,
last
who
day
knows?
In office.
As we record this, he's the president. I don't know if
please,
some shit
please,
will happen.
Please.
Yeah.
I mean, the episode that never aired.
The MyPillow CEO. If his plan goes into action, maybe we're
blame it on China. That's what that
from
said.
From QAnon.
Like, yes. But I don't know. His last week seemed to be Lindsey Graham and other people who are still in his corner planning little distraction trips and giving him like new things to just distract him, right?
Yeah, they have to. You know, he was there. We had a lot of warmongering going on in the beginning of January. We're like, oh no, what is he? What's okay? So maybe he's not going to try something in terms of armed conflict with Iran. But yeah, it's now just been basically like, okay, just shut the fuck up and, you know, try and get out of this and maybe someone will pardon you and the country will continue on its terrible pattern of excusing this kind of shit. But every day has been something, you know, from golfing with Lindsey Graham to, you know, they gave him a pile of CDs with that had all the plastic wrap that were impossible to open from like the 90s, early 2000s. They had him open 700 of those shits for a day just to like just keep him occupied. And yeah, it's been all in service of this man's ego. And it's just funny to read just sort of everything around this from the Washington Post. They're saying, quote, he has not held any public events in 6 days, although aides insist he is hard at work on behalf of the American people, publishing daily on the president's otherwise empty public schedule that he, quote, and this is on the president's daily schedule, quote, will work from early in the morning until late in the evening and make... Again, verbatim, this is what's written down. Make many calls and have many meetings.
Oh my God. He literally is a kid that just wished to be big, except he's doing it badly. Like, it's not like it's big if it didn't end well.
A kid who got there would be like, I need an adult to help me, like, have an air of legitimacy. Like, he's just like, nah, I don't know. Baby, work hard all day, do meetings, and go on phone. Big and loud.
I'm like, what if he's like traveling around? This is where my brain gets paranoid. I'm like, what if he's leaving Horcruxes everywhere of like himself? So it's like just like little bits of himself, like evil Trump spirits around. So like, you know, 4 years down the road, you accidentally open a cursed gem and it's like, aha, I'm back. Yeah, I'm Jafar or whatever.
I think those were left around the country a long time ago, even before Trump. So we may, who knows? But yeah, there may be new ones, new Horcruxes in the mix. Who knows? But then also on Fox and Friends, they continued to really just pat him on his back on the way out. The sycophant fest on his favorite show, Fox and Friends, was unbelievable. On Tuesday morning, Ainsley Earhart had to just, you know, let the president know how much of an admirer he is, of how he just stands up to everything and works so hard.
criticize President Trump, but no one can argue he is a worker. You know, he no doesn't drink alcohol. He stays up late at night. He watches every show.
I'm sorry. So you just said he doesn't drink up alcohol. He stays up late, watches every episode.
Every
that sounds
show.
Like me 2 years ago. I just right. like going that's through right. a depressive
depression.
Phase.
Yeah. That's depression. That's just staying up late and watching TV is depression.
He's
bro.
Going. Yeah, he's coming for that spot on Spotify that says, congratulations, Donald Trump. You're in the 0.101% of Fox and Friends watchers. We'll go on to hear her continue with this eulogy.
He's working. He got to work immediately. And now Joe Biden is saying he's going to get to work on immigration on the first day in office. Some are criticizing him, like Senator Cotton, for focusing on this issue instead of the pandemic. What do you say?
Well, this is going to be part of the problem of where, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And while he's been able to stay in the background as president-elect, he's sort of being held less accountable for what is his priority list. And
anyway, they go on to just, you know, spin that shit. But
absence makes the heart grow fonder about Trump.
Yeah.
Like, I almost feel like maybe that's a strategy all along, is be so bad, but also do nothing. And then you can't really, like, obviously the Republicans won't like the stuff Democrats do, but it will be active. And they'll be like, well, Trump didn't do that. But it's because he didn't do shit.
Like, but what'd he do?
Yeah.
And then him leaving office is going to give us that feeling, like people on the left, a feeling of relief. Like leaving a toxic situation. So in a way, we all get to remember our last memory of him as like relief. Yeah.
And wait, in that same cycle where you have that crisis where you think about going back to that fucked up relationship.
Oh, no.
When you do the X smash real quick and you're like, gosh. what have I done? Yeah, that's exactly when the you up text from America comes back. Like Donald Trump hits that us in a couple of years. A WYD, which I'll do.
There's that Twitter thread that's going around that's like just a greatest hits of his most funniest moments, basically, where he was a hilarious laughing stock. But it does kind of take the pain out of what having him as the president was for the country. It's like with George W. Bush, it was like we turned him into an adorable dummy in retrospect and not somebody who led to the deaths of millions of people.
I don't know.
It's tough because I think everybody's going through this national trauma and having to make sense of it and, you know, process it however they can. But it does just feel like, I don't know, we do have a tendency to kind of rose-tinted glasses ex-presidents.
And just in general, we're not open enough societally to process our trauma, even on a personal level in this country. You know what I mean? So to take it here, I'm like, I don't think we're going to be processing this much at all. It'll be the thing we're like, and you're just drinking. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how much we can do that, but who knows? Because now the elites have been threatened by this presidency and maybe are taking all of the symptoms of, you know, systemic racism that came along with the administration seriously, that maybe we will. I really don't know. But the inauguration day, just to kind of put a bow on what the president's last moments in office are going to be like, if things are still going to plan, he should be having a military style send off from Joint Base Andrews, which typically, normally, the outgoing president goes to the inauguration and then says, hey, thanks, here are the keys, the cocaine's under the weird table over there, and you're good to go. And then you go do your send-off at Andrews and take the plane for one last ride to wherever you're going. But since this fucking crusty motherfucker doesn't want to ask Joe Biden for any permission, because technically, since he wouldn't be the president anymore, it's like a request you make to the president, be like, may I take this one last ride upon Air Force One? Since he doesn't want to do that shit, he's leaving before noon, so he doesn't have to ask anybody for shit.
That's so petty.
And we think he's going to return Air Force One. We think he's going to
paint science.
The flames.
Cartoons all over it. Flame cartoons.
There's going to be truck nuts on the back. All over the inside of that thing.
Yeah. Who knows? But I mean, it would go along with the other images we've seen. Because like, remember there's that photo over the weekend of someone taking off with the Abraham Lincoln bust?
Yeah.
So who knows if they go in there and they're like, yo, he stripped the plane. Like, it's on so cinder petty. Blocks.
Like, AOC said people try to steal her shoes. Like, it's like, I feel like, at this point,
on the orders
just...
of Ben Shapiro, allegedly.
Did he need someplace to sleep? Just curl up in her shoe and
just love shoes. And I don't understand why my wife says it's turning her off when I want to sniff her toesies. They're yummy.
Well, speaking of what happens after Trump is done with Air Force One, Mitch McConnell, people were making a big deal that he basically said yesterday the president encouraged the insurrection. He's saying the right things. Like, people are like, well, that's a good sign. But he's saying them very carefully and in a non-committal way that suggests that he's like, if he wanted to be more forthright in his condemnation, he would. Like, everything that we've learned of this person is that he is a pure political animal who's only interested in securing power. And, you know, he's saying insurrection bad, but I have to think he's going to use the fact that Trump is no longer in office as an argument to not go through with voting to impeach.
It's like hard, you know. Yeah, he's like doing a thing where he has to be Mitch McConnell and play poker, but then the numbers are also going up for impeachment after he leaves office. So, like, because a lot of these, especially the establishment Republicans, are trying to figure out, like, what are we actually dealing with once he leaves? Like, who is really on that Trump shit? And they might MAGA themselves and into a third party. Or do we, is there a way to still get them back? So I think they're contending with a lot of different things.
They can have Jim Jordan. I don't think we want him back.
Yeah, nobody wants him. Not even, I don't think Earth wants him. But yeah, along with that, though, is the one thing that I can see him doing both, either being against impeachment or for it, is that it helps him still be in charge of what the Republican Party is. But I think right now we don't know what that is. You know, because if it's still 80% MAGA, then he might not be able to do anything about it.
Right.
So it's interesting. I mean, you know, Darth Vader's daughter and Liz Cheney and him are both seemingly going to do what's right. But we'll see if that triangulation is going to work.
It's funny that you said Darth Vader, because I was thinking like Star Wars, like when Rey and what's his face?
Rilo Kiley.
Adam Driver. When they get together, because even though the Democrats are sort of starting to get better, I don't know, they are like so much older in general than the Republicans. And I do think we are going to get to a point where like Gen Z and the younger generation will make a third party, and it will be from both sides, because it's a fallacy that there's two sides, since most of us are criticizing both sides.
Yeah.
There's going to be like the third party that's going to be more the voice of the future. It might not be all like what we want, but it will feel more like some people from far left, super far right coming together to be like, let's actually listen to each other.
I don't know I don't know if that the extremes can come together, but I think the unifying thing would be like people who understand that they're somehow either economically or legislatively oppressed.
Yeah. Right.
Extremes, like, I think it goes in a circle, because I mean, this is sort of silly, but like when I saw they're very dangerous and violent guys who went into the White House. But they're also these dudes who are just so much in dude land, where you like they're not even connecting to, like, they're removed from the idea of actually having a family. But they'll say things like, "Oh, you know, traditional family." They're almost like extreme lesbian clans that are like nomad. Like, it's obviously very different because it's not violent, but like in the same sense of rejecting a whole thing to then be part of a culture that only is an echo chamber. They're actually way more similar to the thing that they think they're super against than they are to the center.
But I think it's still like it's hard for, I don't know that how easily people will be able to put that ideology aside. I think over time, people realize how empty this like partisan language that's used is, and how little effect it actually has on your ongoing day to day life. That to hear someone just be like, I don't know what, you know, I don't care about this or that. I'm just saying that we need to have an essential level of humanity that we apply across the board. You know, because getting into like, well, what about conservatism is about this? Like, well, you know what? I don't care about that, because I think the biggest thing is that, like, I'm not looking at destitute people that I know we can help.
Yeah.
Or or how I can change my situation or for my kids. I think that's going to be like a thing that hopefully gains more traction as like people just, you know, like you're saying, it's like, it's the partisan tug of war thing is just sort of like the spectacle to detract from like, yeah, but what does that mean for our outcomes?
Yeah, like humanity, people,
like living our lives.
But I think that's exactly why like the identity politics are going to be less important now that we have more decentralized ways of communicating, because we can strip down ultimately, even though they go about it the wrong way, conservatives also just say they want the best for their family. But if you could actually strip it down to everyone, like what if you could vote with AI? Like you literally just vote what you wanted by policy and thought, and then it actually optimized the perfect structure of like 90% of people want a roof over their head. Okay, well, here's how we could actually calculate how to do that outside of identity politics. I think people would put down the identity politics when they realize that, oh, me and everyone I know wants to eat and sleep. And actually this other stuff is like, we can do that later. Like, right. I think we would get over the identity stuff very fast.
The AI party. I believe that everyone should have a right to
an
education.
I'm announcing my run for... No, I'm just kidding.
And we should also ignore the three rules of robotics. Asimov was a hack, honestly. Let's just get our hand off the brakes here, folks. Deregulate it.
All right, let's take another quick break. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots.
the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and again, looking forward to, I guess, the end of today. So Joe Biden will be president, and he has picked Dr. Rachel Levine to be assistant health secretary as America passes 400,000 COVID deaths in just a year. It's been a single year since the first case was found in America. Miles, you were pointing out this is kind of a encouraging sign.
It has so many things that are heartening about this woman being picked as assistant health secretary, because not only she's coming from running the health department in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania has been like doing a really good job in terms of how they've been handling COVID cases. You know, they're saying that you know, under her leadership, there was like a post-holiday spike, but overall, their new cases and hospitalizations have dropped since like early January, which is not as for us in this city. We're like, okay, how right. Please? Yeah. Because we're out here lifting like regulations on cremation because there's literally so many bodies piling up in this city. Yeah. You know, also that someone who isn't coming from pharma or some revolving door thing or some weird think tank that's really there to be like, we need to get money, like fuck public health. This is someone with public health very much in the front of their mind. She was a pediatrician at Penn State, and her expertise was in helping young teens with eating disorders or anyone who's doing self-harm. Like, this is a compassionate person whose life's work was is treating people. And the one detail that the media is very has been pointing out, almost is leading the entire thing with, is that she's a trans woman. And I think that like everything is just like just hyper focused on this, which I think is fantastic because it is historic to have this first openly trans person hold such high office and things like that. But a lot of times they're not talking about like what that means as her function as the like the main policy driver of health and human services. And that's really what I'm excited about, is that we have somebody who has shown that they understand how to, at least from their state, handle a pandemic, who has a bit of humanity to them. And also credit to the administration for saying, for like basically putting the front of mind inclusion of trans people as a matter of health policy. Those are all like very, very great things. And yeah, and it couldn't come at a better time, because there's states like, you know, Montana and Idaho that are trying to pass all kinds of fucked up bills targeting trans kids, whether it's keeping kids from participating in sports, or, you know, denying access to like hormone therapies and things like that. It's good to see that at a federal level that we are, you know, we're positioning people that can do right by all people. So, yeah.
Yeah, she sounds great. And also just, it seems like they're going to, I mean, I feel like on the left and all the podcasts we do, like we're all very aware mental health is a big part of just health. But I think as a nation, we haven't necessarily like reconciled that. And I think based on her experience, like, you know, working with teenagers with disorders and things like that, a lot of it's tied into mental health. So I feel hopeful that there's going to be a lot more reform and attention put on just like wellness in holistic sense, and not just on like, yeah, like pharma and body and that sort of thing.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, when you think of right now, who is currently in that position of assistant secretary, I just put a picture there because I'm like, I'm glad to see Dr. Rachel Levine there, because right now we have Admiral Brett Girard, who looks like a fucking algorithm of like a dude you would be afraid to tell anything.
I don't think he's cried in like 5 years. I don't think you should be able to be a board of any health thing if you can't cry and be in touch with your own emotions.
This man's photo, I just implore the Zeit Gang, check the photo of this man and just look at this photo. It looks like a kind of doctor who would say, why are you crying right now?
It looks like he's holding in tears constantly, and that's why his eyes are like that. He's like,
his eyebrow is cocked. His eyebrow is cocked in the photo, like he's already not compassionate about the situation.
He doesn't believe his patients.
He's like, so what's wrong with you?
Tough it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Get back out there, soldier.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, he looks like a character from American Dad, like the just super, everybody's a fan of American Dad, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But he just like super, I don't know, old school military. Like this picture could be from the 1950s if the quality wasn't higher.
Yeah. And I mean, look, this guy, like he has bona fides and things like that. But you know what? It's just nice to see someone who it looks like the country, like looks
balance,
like a person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who is not, you know, who's just made it their goal to just do right through their profession. And then, yeah, look what you do such a good job. It elevates you to the point where, you know, someone in leadership wants you to have a huge role. So,
yeah,
good on.
I've read people who I haven't read all of Biden's like plan for attacking the pandemic. But people who have read it, who are like kind of up on how policy work, are describing it on Twitter as like infuriatingly like basic. It's just like all these things that it's obvious we should have been doing from day one that just we're not getting done.
Because my mom just got back from Taiwan and she said they didn't even take her temperature at the airport.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, like coming back to LA, like or the Bay Area, but like she had to be there for months because you have to be quarantined for 14 days in your room and then 30 days before you can like be out in crowds and stuff. And then she was like, "No wonder it's really bad here. They aren't even trying. Like they literally are not even trying."
They're like, "Oh, like, come on Gucci Mane and Tyga were at a maskless club party in Miami, huh?"
Well, you know what it is nobody could be worse coming in. They're almost like, please come in with your antibodies. Like, U.S. is the worst right now. Like, everyone come in. Like, bring your vaccines with you.
Right, right, right.
Yes, yes. Come in.
Yes, herd immunity.
That's not how it works. I don't care.
Just a heads up for our listeners, a couple last things. First of all, if you want to get your MyPillows at Kohl's, or Bed Bath & Beyond, you're going to have to move pretty fast because the free market's doing its work. That's what the right-wing economists are always telling us. You know, just leave it to the free market. Well, that's what's happening. Right-wing people who believe in the free market unequivocally are calling this censorship, but it's really just, you know, the stink of their moral bankruptcy and overt white supremacy. And
the same thing y'all say when you're like, I'll never buy Keurig or Nike. You're saying you won't do that because you're going to speak with your dollars. And then hopefully that will signal to the company when the dollars migrate that they need to get right. But but you don't like it when most people are like, oh, we're against all this shit y'all love. And when it, you know, the thing is, it is affecting their business. Like, yeah, we can't have this shit in here because we need to make money. Fuck your feelings. We make money here.
It's almost like the bad people are just bad still, always till the end.
So this is in response to the MyPillow CEO, Mike Lindell, going to visit with the president, having a plan for, you know, fascist overthrow of the government, like, and in his hands, like that's how we found out, is he had like big notes for it. And on the Right Side Broadcasting Network, he was interviewed and said, I just got off the phone with Bed Bath & Beyond. They're dropping my pillow. Just got off the phone not 5 minutes ago. Kohl's, all these different places. These companies, they're scared, like a Bed Bath & Beyond. They're scared. They were good partners. In fact, I told them, you guys come back anytime you want.
How gracious of him.
I know. I just love that he thinks it's like, they'll figure it out soon.
He's like, you didn't break up with me. I broke up with you.
Yeah.
But I'll take you back when you decide to take my back.
Yikes. Well,
good for
Kohl's and Bed Bath & Beyond. Only getting there now.
Right.
Look, you guys can make pillows at home. They're really easy. It's literally the first thing you learn to sew when you learn to sew. It's two squares.
Oh.
Okay, you don't. This my pillow guy. It's like he obviously isn't passionate about pillows. He's trying to make
easy
a big
to
deal.
Make a pillow.
He,
what you
give
do,
him, he just has a business that he's like pillows. Okay.
You
like,
take no a hoodie. You take a hoodie. You tie up the drawstrings at the top of the hoodie and loop it so the hood is closed. Then you tie knots on the arm sleeves, and then at the and then you stuff it with jeans, and then you tie the bottom, and that's the first pillow I ever used.
Pants, sweatpants work really well because you got like the double, so you're, it's very easy to manipulate. If you stuff them with like t-shirts or something, you can.
I'm gonna have to talk to both of your partners and just make sure they're doing okay, because make sure that the house is
Her Majesty's
not in disarray.
She said you can sleep with your quote unquote pillow in the garage, and I was like, well, then I guess me and my pillow will be in the garage.
It's not disarray if I know where all the sweatpants are, Teresa.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
How can I have lice if I don't have hair? Riddle me that. So it sounds like your problem, not mine.
Fair enough, fair enough. You're right. I'm sorry. I overstepped. Shouldn't have assumed.
And as we say goodbye to the former first family, someone who I feel like we haven't paid as much attention to, still probably way
shame
too
that
much attention to.
Oh, no.
But Tiffany Trump seems like she understands what's happening. And real quickly got some snaps in for the gram engagement photos. She got engaged.
It's nice to see. You know, she knows, okay, how much time do we have? She's like, Michael, we actually have to fucking be out Tuesday night. It's not even Wednesday morning. So we need to take this fucking photo now. Or if we're gonna get engaged, it's got to be soon. So they got engaged.
It looks like a log school graduation photo.
Yeah, they're both in. She's wearing black. He's wearing black. It's not a. I don't think it's. Look, I'm gonna take. Look, this might be a hot take. I don't think this is the engagement photo she wanted. This feels very rushed. I feel like there are a lot cooler places to take photos that indicate you're at the White House than sort of
it's not even an iconic part of the White House.
It's that one spot,
the back alley or something.
Right. It's like, I think where you go from like the press to like the West Wing or something, like it's always like the spot where you see like walk and
60 minutes to the walk and talk. I was just going to say it's the walk and talk. It's like specifically
but you have to know, right? Cause like if I'm there, I want it to be like literally like on the lawn and I'm like, what up, the White House? Like, you know what I mean? Not like this subtle shit. So she's with Michael Bulos, who's her fiance, who popped the question. I don't know if it was. You know, a rushed engagement because the time was ticking on this photo. But he's in a quote unquote executive at his dad's company. Mm-hmm. But I just want to say the most important detail here is that Tiff and Mikey, they met in Greece, okay? When Tiffany was spending time with her BFF and international woman of mystery, Lindsay Lohan.
Oh. Wow.
So. Get it, Tiffany, with your fucking Mykonos island hopping ass.
At least with Tiffany, like, I know she was, like, kind of a punchline for a lot of the presidency, but at the very least, like, she did stay out of it. With Ivanka, like, I feel like right from the start, it was almost in a way kind of reverse, or it was sexist, where people were like, she'll save us. Like, Ivanka's never done anything or said anything to make us think she's weak. She's actually much scarier because she's more palatable to look at, and she is very much behind her dad. Like, she's never...
Right.
But yet, from the beginning, we're like, she'll save us. I'm like, why? Why?
She's
why
smarter
do we think
than,
that?
Yeah. No,
why
she's
do we
just,
ever
yeah.
think that? Maybe Tiffany, because Tiffany maybe doesn't want to be there, but Ivanka seems like she might run, you know? Like,
she can,
watch
yeah,
out for
she
her.
Can iterate on the dumb shit that her dad did and maybe do
and
something
her being
more
like,
effective.
Seeming like a less threatening because she's a woman to sexist actually makes her more dangerous, which
the other thing,
I think she might run. So let's not let that happen.
Nah. We'll see how toxic that name is. Or it's just that thing where it's like, we get that text, you up? And we're like, fuck, maybe she's different than her dad.
Mm-hmm. But even though Tiffany, she's shown no evidence of that at all.
Tiffany may have just been smarter, you know what I mean? Like, she was like, I'm gonna go to law school, I'm gonna just talk shit. Like, cause all the stories were privately, she would flame her fucking family. And then like, but then be at the events, you know, cause she, whatever, has to be. But I don't know if she's just saying that to, you know, cause she's sort of deft at maneuvering, you know, social settings. But, you know, much success to the newly engaged couple. And I hope Lindsay Lohan is the officiant at the wedding.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Or Mike Lindsay. Lindell.
Right. Right.
Oh, Mike.
Who's the Republican politician who is it Matt Gaetz who is really into Tiffany and was like loving her photos and being like absolute stunning. Tiffany's so hot.
Matt Gaetz is the one that's like, yeah, he was the one, him and Jim Jordan during the tech hearing were like the most ridiculous, like saying the stupidest QAnon stuff.
Yeah, they're always, I don't know. Hopefully this investigation.
But Matt Gaetz is younger, so you would, part of you wants him to like be smarter, even though that's discrimination. I'm sorry. But like with the older guys, like there's a tradition to it where it's like, we know you don't think this, but the younger ones, I'm like, you could change things. Why are you doing this?
Yeah, but if but it's like anything when people like grow up idolizing a dumb person. Like, right. Like you should know better. It's like, oh, but you grew up idolizing Louis Gohmert. Okay.
Right.
No wonder. Yeah. Like,
I would like to
no
be
swag.
That dumb person for children to idolize one day.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you can be. Mm-hmm. Don't worry. When you do that whole children's book, E equals MC squared.
There you go. This does kind of tie in with just the overall question of what McConnell is going to do, because if he does ultimately, vote to convict and gets the 2/3 in the Senate, I feel like then the question immediately becomes which Trump child is going to run for president in 2024. Probably, and it would be between Don Jr. and Ivanka.
What about Barron? I feel like.
Barron. Is there calculus like don't do like okay if you're super if you're playing shithead Machiavellian chess with Mitch McConnell, is it that you leave him there? You also vote to not impeach him. So the party's like, okay, man, Mitch has figured it out to know if this idiot will think he can run in 4 years. Mm-hmm. Fuck that. He ain't going to fuck. Even if he tries, we know this time we'll club his ass the fuck out of here. He won't even know what fucking hit him. We'll do everything we can this time to stop him. If he even has it, like if they feel that they're down to face of Trump in 4 years type person versus cleaving him from the party, giving all this energy to the Trump name just to march out a kid. And now they're contending with like an angry party that they pissed off from holding him accountable. And now they don't know how to wrangle that. I don't know. It's a problem I care not to be in, but
I think they're still playing too much in the future. I mean, like the reality is what we got to get back to the truth, right? Like they're still trying to, like you said, play chess instead of just going, this is the thing we should do now, because we kept putting snooze on like panic, and then it was like people almost can't panic anymore because like I don't know, I'm numb, but just get rid of him, and then if all that stuff happens and it comes back, and then we deal with it. If we are like constantly like playing this game, then we're just giving him more and more space to do whatever he wants.
Sure,
we need to like stop thinking about it and let him fade away.
The other thing is like to your point, even all of the triangulating and calculations and things like that, they pale in comparison to just addressing problems directly.
Yes.
For people like the Republicans, they came in and like, yo, Joe Biden ain't going far enough to like help the people of like my constituency. Like that's going to poll well, even if people are like, yeah, but you're a Trumper. Like, cause objectively that's like a better sentiment to have, but they're so over leveraged in white supremacy and oppression that they have to just go, well, fuck, man, how are we going to fuck around this time? Because we can't just suddenly be all like humane and shit and actually build a coalition of support like so.
Right. But they could in a way where it would be dangerous, because all they have to do is do one thing that's out of the ordinary. It would be like, oh, we like you again. We trust them. Like, imagine if the Republican Party suddenly changed its view on immigration, but nothing else, like abortion, nothing else. I think they would win over a lot of people. It's almost kind of scary. It takes a
But the like, Democrats have mastered that, so it'll be true. Hard.
Oh, the shade.
Sorry.
Teresa, it's been a pleasure, as always, having you. Where can people find you and follow you?
You can follow me at Larissa T online. And I am selling Valentine's, so if you want. They're kind of like cheeky. They're all based on jokes I've written. So it's on my website, teresaleecomedy.com/shop. I'm sorry I'm not as funny because I haven't done stand-up, but I did start an OnlyFans for talking about the singularity in quantum. So if you really do want to hear very unfunny but like Teresa thoughts, like if you like that one video of me doing shrooms on Cracked, follow me on OnlyFans. It's OnlyFans/Teresa Lee. It's literally me talking about quantum in a way that makes sense to me, but might just be entertaining for you guys.
Hell yeah.
And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Oh, sure. This one made me laugh this morning. I don't know this person. It was just on my TL, at Abby Emanuel. Said, one time a Trader Joe's cashier gave me a single rose for free, and I saw the same guy at a bar that weekend and was like, hey, you gave me a flower. And he was like, I don't remember. They just tell us to do stuff like that.
Oh, just, you know, delighting just, the customer. It's
yeah,
just
a little yeah. story there. Kind of captured the, you know, just life is like that. Have a good day, but also... It's fine if you don't. And don't think too much, okay? Nobody's trying to... Nope, everything's about themselves, you know?
Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. Also, 90 Day Fiancé podcast, 420 Day Fiancé. Check that out if you want to talk or hear me talk that shit about 90 Day. The tweets that I like, the first one, maybe I did this one, I don't know, but I'll say it again because I love it. It's from Foghorn Respector at Sounds and Color. It's from last week, but it started off, officer, do you, this is, so it's a dialogue between this person and the officer. Officer, do you know how fast you were going? Me. Well, where were you the evening of January 6th? Wonderful. Flipping on him. And then another one, which is just very real and fucked up. It's from at It's Push Push, tweeting, malls are open, but the morgues are full. Don't come to L.A.
Damn. Yep. Yeah, yeah. It's bad. It's bad. Yeah. I mean, that is the perfect example of how this country doesn't work.
And TV production is essential.
Yes.
Is essential work.
Of course.
No. Okay.
I make the Super Bowl commercials, you know.
Right, exactly.
Chips won't sell themselves.
Well, if we don't have a special episode to talk about the AFC Championship game, what do we have?
Thank you. Thank you. Grace tweeted, daddy issues is so bizarre because the term itself literally implies men have done something wrong. But our world is so misogynistic, it excuses men from taking any accountability for their actions and just shames women instead.
Damn.
That was a very
fuck you, TikTok. What was that? TikTok serving me that shit up?
Wait, do they have something that's about
no,
that
just saying to Teresa's point about serving your subconscious back up to you,
hey,
you know what I mean?
Fuck that. You can find
fuck
me on
you, self-awareness.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding out on today?
We're going to continue along the L. Michaels affair journey we've been going on. That album that we talked about that was just so smooth. You know, their whole catalog is strong. And there's a track that they have with this artist, Pia Malik. And I don't know how else to describe it. It's L. Michaels affair being so nice on the instruments, and then Pia Malik's vocals on here, very Bollywood, very funky, and it's called Merkit Gem or Gem. And I apologize if I completely butchered that pronunciation, but it's spelled M-U-R-K-I-T, and the next word is G-E-M. Check this out. It has wonderful vibes. It's very relaxing and funky, so you know how I get down.
I do know how you get down.
Thanks.
We're going to get down to that. The Daily Zeitgeist, that sounded cool, right? That sounded young and relevant. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you then. Bye.
something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.